father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. You've seen him plenty. Bomani Jones from ESPN joining us right now. He also got the podcast The Right Time, and he's got an HBO show as well. Bomani, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, my bad. I got caught on mute. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, Bomani? Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Tell us about the HBO show.
Oh, man, Game Theory. We did season one here in early 2022. We've got season two coming up at a date to be announced. Not too long, but we are just trying to throw a bunch of stuff out there and talk about sports, honestly, in a way that nobody has really pulled off on television. So we got a little comedy. We got a little depth. We had a quick little cameo appearance from Lance Zierlein on episode 6. You may not even know that.
It came to my attention. You're about to be famous. I'm like, that was nothing. That was nothing.
NFL Network
and
guy.
I got what you. Yeah, me, Bucky, bro. They actually took y'all had to go get the digital. That wasn't even NFL Network. That was like NFL Now, the digital side video.
You know what was so funny about it was that when we ran it, I was looking at it and I was like, because you know you and I talk a lot,
right?
But we don't look at each other a lot, right? And I was like, you know, I think that's Lance. I hope there's no misunderstanding on this one. And then when we got to the end where the dude was like, he looks like a raven. And you're like, yo, so he's got like a pointy beak. I was like, oh, yeah, Lance knows that that's funny.
No, that's what it's funny. Somebody came. So Bomani was talking about the draft stuff and, you know, draft guys talking about prospects and none of that stuff. After being in this thing, I've got thick skin. But I also understand there's a lot of people that think the way that you think. But there's also, and you guys will have to go watch Game Theory to see. But I didn't take it as any other way than what it was meant, and I did think it was funny. So I got it completely. But like there were some guys that, ooh, you go. I said, man, I'm boys with Bomani. Shut up. This is
no.
This
joke
is like literally
not you.
Nothing.
Yeah, the joke wasn't you. The joke is that y'all got all that airtime to fill.
Yeah.
Like, when you have all that time to fill, we're going to be talking about all kinds of guys.
Let me follow up then. Do you think, because there's all of us in the space, right, whether it's – now, football's the biggest one, like draft guys. And I will admit the space is filling up with a lot of guys who, frankly, I think don't know what they're talking about. And I'm not talking about at ESPN or NFL Network right. Or all that. But because the internet's such a big place, there are people who can create their own – you know, quote unquote businesses and companies, which is fine. I hustled. I came up the same way. But there's a lot of people who just are followers and talkers and they create these narratives and push these narratives around. And I don't always know that it's the best thing. Imagine that. Amplification on social media is not always the best thing.
Yeah, no, I think the thing for me with the draft is I think there's all the evaluation that's done, I think, is valuable, right? Like, it's not like you don't need to find out if these good guys are good at stuff or not. Like, I actually have come to defend a lot of the draft people on certain things, like the hand size thing that becomes a joke all the time. And it's like, yo, it's not going to determine if you're great, but it is a tiebreaker. You know, like, I think yeah. that a lot of that stuff, people like to think they're smarter than the people who actually do this stuff for a living. I just don't like the idea that you make people go to a team that they didn't ask to go to. But it's not as though there is no value in figuring out, hey, these guys who trade on their bodies, you might want to find out what their bodies
are. That's yeah. Bomani Jones with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you make of the Nick Saban-Jimbo Fisher feud?
Oh, man. I couldn't enjoy anything in this world more. On one hand, a guy, Nick Saban, who is at the most probation of school, basically, it's like Alabama and SMU. Are basically the two we've been on probation more than anybody else because we want it that bad, right? Trying to be like, hey, other people aren't doing it the right way. On the other side is Jimbo Fisher, who really expects me, person from Houston who went to a high school that was maroon and white and the Aggie wore him was our school song. You expect me to believe anybody that plays football going to College Station for free? Because I wouldn't go to College Station for free. Like, both of them are up there, and all of us are looking at them like, oh, come on, man, we know what it is. But I think what it really comes down to, and I hadn't really thought about in the last 15 years, it's personal with those two, I think, probably going back to when Saban left LSU.
Well, you know, I wonder this too, Bomani. This is what was shocking to me. To throw out the stuff that Nick Saban did, even if he feels that way, which he clearly does feel that way, And some people have pointed out that was also probably a message he was sending to donors, that it's time to kick in a little more. I don't doubt that. I think that's 100% accurate. But it is crazy that we live in a time where guys like Travis Johnson, former, you know, players who were recruited by Nick Saban, they're going to start taking their shots. And their shots are going to get picked up by social media, and it's going to go viral, and they're going to be picked up by media outlets. And Jimbo Fisher's basically tell you, if you want to find out where the bodies are buried, why don't you just go talk to anyone who's ever coached for them? Like, Jimbo's laying it out for people to go, you know, run out and dig up some dirt on Nick. So it was kind of crazy that Nick exposed himself that way.
Yeah, and what I thought was surprising to me was Saban made the mistake. Like, I always joke about this in the NBA, where these dudes like Andrew Bogut or whatever, Tony Parker's gotten in trouble for this. But you go back to the old country, and you think that, like, we can't hear what you say on the news over there, and then all of a sudden it turns into a thing where somebody can translate it or whatever. And these guys get in these booster rooms, like Lane Kiffin when he was at Tennessee. Like, a lot of the explosive stuff he said there was in these rooms and trying to get people money. And so you would think somebody is calculating to save it. No, once you say that there, it's going to get out to the world. The same thing happened with Jimbo last year. We said they were going to kick Alabama's ass. Remember that? Like, that goes in the same place. So I couldn't believe that he really thought that what he was doing was just stay in that room.
Right. Hey, that happened to Carlos Correa this offseason. He was doing a Spanish-speaking podcast, and he was talking about Derek Jeter not deserving any gold gloves. And all of a sudden, man, the Yankee fans hate you now, so you ain't going to the Yankees, buddy.
He was right. Let's not get past that part. He was, in fact, correct.
Well, but you can't say it out loud. And you know what? Nick Saban might have been right, but you can't say it out loud. That's all there is to it.
Well, the thing that got me with him that I think is interesting is that he seems to be the only one of these guys that really looks at Deion as a threat. Because I'm like, look, man, if Deion got one, just let that slide, baby. They're not about to have, like, a top 15 recruiting class anytime soon at Jackson State. It's just impossible. That one, if I were him, I would have let ride, because that's the one that looked bad, right? Like, that's the one that makes you look like you're
pushing down. Jackson State? That's crazy.
Right. I could see him going after Jimbo because Jimbo beat him, and now all of a sudden he's a threat. Deion ain't no, and they do those duck commercials together.
Yes. Well, this is why I thought he should have left Jimbo alone. They probably gonna go 8-4 again. But that's the thing that gets to me to be interesting about the SEC, and I think that this gets lost, is that if you go through and look at those recruiting rankings, if you've got like the number 25 recruiting class in America, you might have like the 8th best recruiting class in the SEC. Which is to say that just because Jimbo has all those players, you got to do something with them. And the biggest problem with Jimbo Fisher is that he makes life really hard on his quarterbacks. I am convinced that the reason all his bum quarterbacks have been drafted as highly as they were is NFL people must be looking at the film and being like, oh, man, we can do something with this because this guy ain't doing nothing with it. Like, that's the only reasonable explanation for me, is that he does that really hard system for quarterbacks to run. And so my guess is they're going to come out here and go 8-4, 9-3 again, because that's what Texas A&M has basically done every year since I was 16.
Bomani Jones joins us right now.
It's kind of true.
Yeah, I mean, it has been. And we keep waiting for A&M to turn. Even when they had the great year, the first year in the SEC, they really didn't ride that with the same momentum that I expected with Johnny Manziel being in there. Would you want to, speaking of that, just right off the cuff, how good would a Johnny Manziel documentary be? If people had really been capturing all the video, and there's probably stuff on cell phones that Johnny and his boys were shooting back then on Apple phones or whatever. But do you think a Johnny Manziel documentary would be good? Like, maybe just a 30 for 30, your old spot at ESPN. By the way, are you still at ESPN?
I am still there.
So you still got ESPN money, HBO money. You got your own thing with the... See, when I grow up, I want to be Bomani Jones.
No, no question.
no question. But how about like a 30 for 30 doc on just Johnny Manziel? Because I would think that would be one of the wildest documentaries that you could see.
I would love to watch it. And for me, the theme would be, what if your whole life changed in one half of football? Because everything we're talking about with him is a result of the first half of the 2012 game against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And I throw this out about Manziel. Let's say that Alabama had played LSU that year, the week before they played them. Because if people remember, Alabama and LSU played a slugfest at Death Valley. And then the next week they played Texas A&M. In the first half, A&M just walked down the field on them. In the second half, Alabama came back, but then A&M held on. If they are more rested going in that game, Alabama beats Texas A&M, and the legend of Manziel never happens. But it did happen, and then the part that I think nobody really talked about, few players have ever been exploited by their schools the way Manziel was the second it all turned up. They had been waiting their whole lives for that guy. And he turned into instant phenomenon, basically stopped being a student, basically stopped being a college football player at that point. And then his whole life went into this crazy, bizarre spiral when the reality is he was always probably about a third-round pick. But he had this one great day, and his whole life changed.
Yeah, I have no question about it. Bomani Jones with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bomani, tell us once again, the HBO show, I was just watching it. It looks like what's his name that does Last Week on HBO?
Oh, John Oliver.
Yeah, John. Does it like? Is it a John Oliver type show?
Yeah, it's kind of laid out like that.
Yeah.
It's a little different than Oliver in the sense that I'm not trying to teach y'all nothing, right? Like, Oliver does these kind of explainers that are really thorough and go through it. And what we're doing is, it's like if you were coming in to do your radio show, and it's like, okay, this is my take on this thing, except now I've got an army to help build this take into all these different things. So it's like, hey, you got a field piece or a comedy sketch that we can throw in that? Oh, okay, well, hey, let's go to the research team. Hey, what can you guys come up with? But it all starts with I've got this take on whatever it is that we're discussing. And then, I mean, we just got a real strong team of people that's behind me, and I've never had anybody that could help me in this way. Like, this is the first time I feel like a show I've done has not been limited by my brain. Like, I got other people in here to be like, well, what if we add this? What if we add that? And it's the most fun I've ever had doing anything.
Yeah. Game Theory?
Game Theory
it is. Yes, sir.
Game Theory. It's on HBO, and the second season's coming up. Neat stuff.
Yeah, congratulations, Bomani.
Yeah, Bomani, that's great stuff.
It's funny. Bomani came to my attention. I kept hearing his name. You know, one of the good things about social media is that, and Bomani, trust me, you already know there's plenty of people that hate Bomani.
Why?
And there's plenty of people that love Bomani.
Why could you? Why
because
would you hate
Bomani is polarizing for people for whatever reason. Bomani, I'm not telling him something he doesn't know.
No.
I'm not telling Bomani something he doesn't know. That's the space. That's what Twitter does also. It creates that opportunity for you. You don't have a problem with it, though, do you? Bomani, in terms of being a polarizing figure, I think the quicker you embrace it and understand it, the quicker you use it to your advantage.
And the quicker you realize it ain't personal. Like, it ain't really got nothing to do with me. Like, right. None of these people who have these problems with me, like, actually know me, you know? And also, I admit that I could be an antagonist at different points. Like, Laz was one of the first people to hit me and be like, hey, I'm just saying, I watched this, and I'm just not sure that this is a thing that's going to make you happy. Like, just give it some thought. And you were right, like, to be perfectly honest, because it wasn't like those people were offending me or, like, hurting my feelings, but I was like, yo, I'm really out here just destroying people all the time, and that's not a net positive.
That's Bomani Jones. How long you been at ESPN? No?
Oh, wow. Full-time for 9 years, but I have basically worked there in some capacity for the better part of the last 18 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I'm, you've been in the public consciousness a long time.
Yeah,
now.
It's been a while.
Long time now.
It's
That's great stuff. Congratulations on all your success, Bomani. We really
Former
appreciate
Texas
you being
Aggie,
here.
Former Texas Aggie, Bomani Jones.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let me tell you something. We went for a visit to College Station when I was in high school. And I'll never forget it. Somebody, like I said, I went to high school in Walla, man. I'm well deep in the country. I got out there and was like, oh, my God, this is the country times a million. No, I want to go home.
That's Bomani Jones right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bomani, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, all right, man. You guys be good.
All right. That's Bomani Jones right here. Let's get back to the Jimbo. And we had a bunch of calls on that we had to take off the air. We're giving away. Oh, okay, let's do it again now.
Did we have a bunch of calls, or did we just give away? Did they call?
No,
that
was for the giveaway, but we still had more calls that people wanted to get in.
Daryl Morey, I think, at 8:30 still.
You do?
I think.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see.
All right, we'll see if that happens here. That would be nice if he joins us at 8:30, and then we had something else as well. No, Daryl Morey at 8:30. Hopefully that's going to happen. I'll tell you what, at 8:30 exactly, you call in, and we've got a 4-pack of tickets to the Space Cowboys, and we're giving away once per hour here at 8:30 exactly, 713-780-3776. We had a bunch of calls for the last 4-pack. You got a winner. You got their name. Okay. So we're going to do it again at 8:30. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the Space Cowboys game tonight. It's tonight. If you can't go tonight, don't call. If you want to go, you want a 4-pack of tickets. It's a beautiful field. It's a wonderful experience. You're going to see Pedro Leon, who is on fire and just awesome. Who knows who's we'll find out who's pitching tonight. See if you're seeing Hunter Brown. That would be awesome. But if you're looking for future Astros tonight, you got it. We'll do it at 8:30, 713-780-3776, caller number 4. In the meantime, what about QC Kinetics?
QC Kinetics is making a huge, huge difference with for people who have issues with chronic pain. And I got to tell you something now. QC Kinetics, a big, big deal for them is that they want you to get back to being able to do whatever it is that you were able to do at one point. And that could be tennis, that could be golf, but I can tell you QC Kinetics is the place where you go when it's time for you to get back to being the real you. And that means getting biological therapies, all natural biological therapies that help regenerate and regrow tissue. This is a big, big deal. You know, it's something I've known about for years in the athletic space, but now it's available to just you and I. And my wife is going to start going in and getting the treatments over there with QC Kinetics. And I can't wait, because with QC Kinetics, you actually have a chance to come back from some of those injuries and the chronic pain. She's got bone-on-bone knee condition. We're talking about regrowing tissue, not steroid shots that reduce inflammation and then mask the pain because it pops back up, and not surgeries, not a bunch of downtime. No surgeries, no downtime, no shots, no steroids. This is all natural biological therapies that are really working for people just like you and me and have worked in the athletic space for a long, long time. Call them today. Set up your free consultation, 713-913-5285. Get back to where you were. Don't just give in to the pain. 713-913-5285. 5285. That's the experts over at QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, before we get back into this Jimbo stuff,
Daryl
Morey may be joining us in 10 minutes. We will see.
Yeah.
He said yes originally, and then the time changed. He was going to be on as part of the anniversary stuff, and then he had to do it Friday, and it was said he could do it at 5:30 p.m. Like, you know, that's not our show. And so then he said 8:30 central, so we'll see if he comes on. I reached back out to him, hopefully we can lock it in. But before we get back on some of this NIL stuff between Saban and Jimbo, we need to reset this and play what Nick Saban has said, play what Jimbo said, because Jimbo, I mean, this is the thing I know for sure. Jimbo is not— do not come at Jimbo.
No.
We saw what happened when Lane Kiffin did it, and Jimbo was ready. You know where to find me. Like, Jimbo was ready to scrap. And Nick Saban put him on mega blast. And as a matter of fact, let's pull it up right now, because I do want to get to the Astros here in a second, too. But Jimbo Fisher. So here's Jimbo Fisher yesterday. Play every clip you got. Unload all the clips. If you got one long-ass one, RJ, then play one long-ass one. But they started the press conference. A&M held a press conference yesterday, and it was Alan Cannon, who is their director of relations, who asked the question, Jimbo, because I'm like, that's Alan Cannon. As soon as Jimbo sat down, he rolled up his sleeves he sat down at the microphone, rolled up his sleeves. He said, what are your thoughts on the, do you want to make a comment on your thoughts on what Nick Saban had to say yesterday? And he immediately got into it.
When he doesn't get his way, or things don't go his way, the narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. And if they broke state laws, They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. Listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
Coach back behind
don't
the lines.
Don't be associated with it. I would like to find unified rules across this country to put things in place. That's what I want. And I don't know what those are. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't know what the antitrust laws, all those bylaws. So the government needs to step in because these things here. And what's funny, in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? It's amazing, wasn't it?
The left Rob.
When you walk on water, I guess, it don't matter.
Wow. I hadn't heard the last one. That's why I didn't go back and work for him.
Bomb, shot, bomb. You know, my dad was... So Nick Saban went to LSU after the 99 season into 2000. My dad was coaching University of Cincinnati with Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher, Mike Tomlin, they had this incredible staff. I think Rex Ryan just left the year before. My dad was on a staff with Tomlin, Rex Ryan, Jimbo Fisher, Amos Jones, who works in the NFL now, special teams coach. And anyway, there's one other. Oh, Wink Martindale was also on that staff. That was on one college football staff at Cincinnati. Wink Martindale, my dad, Mike Tomlin, Jimbo Fisher, Rex Ryan at one point. Anyway, Jimbo left. Nick Saban brought Jimbo over to LSU, and he asked my dad to come. And my dad knew Pat Rhule, who had coached with Nick at Michigan State. And he's like, man, he had heard a lot of stories about working for Nick, that it was not easy. And Nick offered him more money than Cincinnati had. And my dad felt kind of loyal. Cincinnati offered him, you know, came up and offered him more money. And my dad felt loyal to them. And he just don't think he wanted to work for Nick because Nick's really, really tough. He's got a revolving door to this day of coaches. Yeah. I mean, good offensive line coaches. I heard one of the coaches who got, they pushed him out the doors because he didn't sign a certain five-star. Had nothing to do with how he coached and the technique and all that stuff. Well, anyway, my brother, Nick, was going in to recruit Archie, Narada and Archie, I can't remember. Both of them went to Texas A&M. They were linebackers at Bay City when my brother was coaching Bay City. And Nick Saban was down to recruit those guys. And my brother said, hey, coach, I'm Mike Zuerlein. I'm the offensive line coach here. He goes, you're Larry's son? Yeah. Yeah, tell your dad you're welcome from me for getting him that raise at Cincinnati. My brother's like, okay, I'll let him know. But So Jimbo was here with Nick Saban when Nick took over. Well, I say here. He was at LSU when Nick Saban took over at LSU. That's where they coached together.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got out of there and left. And I think one of the reasons he left is because some coaches, he left under with Les Miles. He actually left when Les Miles came in. I believe Jimbo did because I don't think he liked Les Miles. I think he got along with Nick Saban at the time. I mean, Jimbo's a hard ass. Now he's a hard ass here. Jimbo is. So is Kirby Smart. I mean, those guys are hard asses. That's also why they're good. That's also why they're the only two coaches ever to beat Nick Saban who coach with them. But here's what they also are. Feisty. So if Nick comes to Jimbo, Jimbo's not for the bleep bleep. He's not for that FS, as we say.
Jimbo left LSU in 2006. So he didn't like Les.
I'm telling you.
Well, he was there for 2 years under Les.
Yeah, and yeah. He didn't like it.
Well,
that's
he got
he
the
left.
Head job. Oh, no, he got OC quarterback job at Florida State and then he got the head coach.
I know for a fact
right. He
didn't
no,
like
he didn't
coaching
like those,
because Les was too much in his business offensively. And so he left because he didn't like it.
Made him pitch and then run up the middle.
Right. Yeah.
8:27. If he is here on the other side, we'll see. But we also got that giveaway at 8:30 as well. We'll get to more if we have Daryl Morey. We'll see. If not, we'll continue to talk about. We got to talk about the Astros. We got to talk about that basketball game last night. because Boston said, "Oh yeah, oh yeah."
What a beat!
Maybe we can
is
beat
this
Jimmy
Boston's
Butler.
Year?
In the meantime,
this might be Boston's year.
It might be. You want to talk about going to the game and using simple seats?
Let's do that. My brother reached out the other day and was talking about. We were just talking and he said he and his wife Lisa were going to go to another Astros game. He was excited about. They like to go to the games, and he said, "Man, it's just crazy when I'm having to pay in all these fees." And it was like literally a commercial just appeared in my lap. I said, "Mike," I said, I talk about Simple Seats on the radio, simpleseats.com. You can go to that website, simpleseats.com, and you can pick up from a variety of seats. The guy who owns the company used to work for the Astros in the ticketing department. And Mike does a great job of, he's created a business model where he understood our frustration. It's a normal thing to buy tickets off the secondary market now, right? But the big frustration is you get a price that you think is a good price, and then when you get to checkout, it's this totally different price because of the fees that the people charge. Well, guess what? Simple Seats has no fees. There are no fees. Whatever the ticket price is, you get tickets, tax, and that's it. No service fees, no transfer fees, none of that. Simple Seats has no fees. Make sure that you go to simpleseats.com for your Astros tickets because you're going to find great tickets at great prices. And on top of that, there's never any fees. And I also strongly recommend that you take advantage of zone pricing because zone pricing allows you to pick the zone and they will pick the tickets. You save that much more money. SimpleSeats.com. Use promo code Lance10 for a $10 discount on any order. Your first order of $50 or more. Lance10 is your promo code at SimpleSeats.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, we give away these tickets, RJ. Nice job. We'll give away another four-pack in the 9 o'clock hour right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't forget the occasional golf tournament. It's June 14th at Wildcat Golf Club. Just go to our website to sign up. Let's go.
Did you see Longhorn fans are petitioning?
Yeah.
The game.
Fox is going to be on Fox.
My wife was really pissed about this. She's like, how in the world is there an Alabama-Texas game that's 11 a.m.?
Yeah, but that's the Fox window. That's what they do. They want to.
It's going to be a billion degrees.
I know. It's terrible.
Why would you have an 11 o'clock game for that
game? That should be a 7 o'clock game. Yeah. Ridiculous. And oh, by the way, I think CBS is probably going to pick up A&M and Alabama as its lone CBS Saturday night game.
Oh, you got to.
You have to.
You got to.
You have to. That'll be so much fun. Holy crap. 703-780-3776. What a difference Marcus Smart makes. He and Horford now, but Marcus Smart to start the game was just, making passes.
Immense
setting
difference.
Stuff up. He's a relentless defender, one of the best defenders in the NBA. Horford as well, playing. It's a different. Listen, Miami blew him out in game one, and Jimmy Butler looked great in 41 points, and everybody was, Jimmy Butler. Why did we forget about Jimmy Butler? Here's why we forget about Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler doesn't have much around him. Bam Adebayo is nice, great. Tyler Hero, sixth man of the year. That's great. You know what? That's all fine and good. Is that a championship team? We'll see. But I'll tell you what, nobody has played better. The Celtics, after their start, the first 18 games or whatever it was, and their horrific start, have been the best team in the NBA. They've been the best team in the NBA. And listen, when they're full, when they've got everybody, and Grant Williams is hitting like he has been and coming up with big shots over the last these playoff games, this team is going to be awfully, even for Golden State to beat.
Yeah, because it really does. Like, Horford's played great. He's played way better than I expected. And then Marcus Smart is just a really good, he's just a really good defender who gives them a ball handler up top and allows Jason Tatum to play off the ball. He can play on the ball. I just think that, you really did see an incomplete version of Boston in game one. You almost have to throw that game out because I know it was a blowout, but
you just weren't seeing a completed version of Boston. And now you are, and look what happens. Boston goes on the road and smashes them. This really does feel like, and I know it may feel like a little bit of recency bias just because they just blew out Miami. Yeah, but still, I mean, Boston was the team that just took out Milwaukee. And that's the Kings. They beat the Kings. So, granted, I know, without Chris Middleton, but you've got an irritant on the team, which is important, in Grant Williams. You've got a veteran big in Horford. You've got an athlete who can play, you know, an athlete who can step up and give you 30 in a night in Brown, or defend a couple different positions. Jason Tatum is a superstar. Marcus Smart does a variety of things and can really defend. Like, if you start adding up all the little pieces, that's championship stuff. And when I say irritant, I really mean that. Like, Draymond Green, that's a good teams oftentimes will have that irritant.
Yep.
They don't have to be championship teams, but good teams will have an irritant. And an irritant can be any number of players. They don't necessarily have to be dirty or anything like that. Bruce Bowen was dirty, but he was also an irritant. And that Spurs team needed, a lot of times they give some edge. I'd say Marcus Smart has some edge to him too. Boston actually has edge on that roster, but I don't know. I just think when you start looking at the different pieces, superstar, check. Defender out top, a guy who can be an on-the-ball defender, check. Versatile big man with experience, check. Athletic wing player, Jayon Brown, check. Like, there's a lot of check marks. Tice, even getting Tice back and having a rim protector is, to me, a big deal. Another big who can protect the rim. Just a
former
lot
Rocket.
Of, former Rocket. Well, I know him as former Rocket Daniel Tice.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of check marks in Boston's.
Boston, you know, to me, man, Golden State looks great. I think I'm taking Boston to win this whole thing.
They're mentally tough. They've been through some battles over the years. It's not like they have. I mean, they're a playoff team for quite a few years now. So
yep.
I think I do too.
All right, let's get Jed in here. Let's talk about his Astros. Hey, Jed.
Hey guys, how you doing there? Per se, you know, speaking of prospects in the Astros farm and ranch system, what would you call from the prospects and said system and actions and how they pitched to the catcher if the catcher didn't know the pitch was coming? Per se, I didn't know if that James Click, I mean Click, if his assistant general manager Michael Fluth. So you have Click and Fluth. That would be ironic. So who would be the prospects you would bring up over there? Just so we know, didn't know if that you knew per se.
Yeah, probably Corey Lee would be.
Yeah,
you know, the number one catcher.
Yeah, Corey Lee's the number one catcher, but Pedro Leones and Hunter Brown are good prospects.
No,
Dr. Evil.
You couldn't hang up on him. You don't know.
You did? Did you hang up on him?
Yeah.
Oh
no! Come on the radio. Come on the radio. So see what that was. See, this is a veteran move by us. That was Dr. Evil. And he had me for a second. He was doing a good job of disguising his voice.
Yeah.
He had James Click, Click. That is a world-famous prank caller. And he would have literally pulled it completely off the rails. We would have given him our answer. Here's how this would have played out. We would have played it straight, given him the answer, and he would have come back with some of his wild-ass Dr. Evil stuff. Yeah. It has been a long time since Dr. Evil tried to fool us.
But you didn't know RJ. Yeah, but he's legendary, and he's been doing this to us for a while. He got us the first few times, all of a sudden he goes,
I want to call about Bobby Hoynes. Called about Bobby Hoynes' contract. I'm like, what? We're talking about Bobby Hoynes. Like, yeah, I hear he's asking for too much money. Like, he wants $1 million. Yeah. We're like, what?
Oh, Dr. Evil, a day after the 25th anniversary.
Dr. Evil, call back in so we can just talk to you.
No, he doesn't just talk.
No, I know Dr. I know, but I know I have talked to him at a listener event before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I know who Dr. Evil is. I never say his name, but I know who Dr. Evil is. I think he's in real estate here locally, but I know who Dr. Evil is. And I've told you before, his most famous thing ever is when he got Tom Tynan we were at 610 and he got, you know, he wanted to build a castle, and he was looking to build a moat around it, and Tom Tynan was trying to help him with this moat, although Tom Tynan did think it was a little bit bizarre. And it was, maybe we can have a moat and alligators. Like, oh, well, I don't know about that. That's a weird, Tom Tiny didn't know how to deal with them.
No, that is, doctor. Oh, I knew when he started, when he started to click.
I know, I'm like, wait a minute.
I was wondering, yeah, because I can't understand what he's saying. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, it's Dr. Evil. It's Dr. Evil. Let's get Michael in here, wants to talk about Saban. What do you say, Michael?
Hey, question, guys. Has anyone discussed, or have you guys discussed this morning, wasn't it Nick Saban from the Texas High School Coaches Association this very summer touting Bryce Young as having a million-dollar NIL deal?
That's right.
A.K.A., hey, high school coaches, tell your players to come here.
Yes, then, that's legal.
Maybe now in discussion in light of that.
Yeah, what A&M did is completely illegal. What Nick is doing is everything
is legal.
Well,
no, that is legal. No, what? You can't say, I'm going to give you, if you're a quarterback coming here, you can't say, we're going to give you $1 million. But you can say this, hey, Bryce Young has $1 million deal. That's all I can tell you. That's all I know.
Well, wait.
That's legal.
I know, but Michael's point is,
yeah,
if you don't like the fact that people, so what Nick's problem is that he says A&M is
promising kids money to come there. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem. And Jimbo is like, now is A&M doing it legally?
Well, but to Michael's point, isn't that basically enticing the coaches?
No, it's,
and putting a message out there.
You can put the message out there. Texas A&M has put it out there that every lineman they have is getting $50,000. Every lineman Texas has.
That's why our guy. $50,000. That's why our guy was texting saying no one's gotten anything yet.
Nobody's gotten anything yet. But here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. When they're being recruited, you can't say you're going to make this. That's the right.
Oh.
All you can say is
say that.
All I can say is at the University of Texas, all of our linemen are getting $50,000 this year. So all I'm saying, I'm just saying, that's what you can say.
Yep.
You can't say if you come here, we're going to give you $50,000. It's stupid. It can't be dumber, but it is what it is. Michael, we appreciate it. 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back on our Astros on the other side. But first, how about Paul Miller and Chef coming here yesterday?
Did you like that? How good were that? Those are, so what we saw are things you can see at Union Kitchen, for example. They had the meatballs. I don't know. He was explaining how he made the sausage meatballs and something about croissant. I think there was something about croissant dough in there too, and it was a Gouda cheese gravy that they made. Oh my gosh!
They're opening up. They're going to do that. Passarella's is what it's called,
the Italian
place. And it's going to be right next to the Union Kitchen in Cyprus.
Yeah,
that's what it's going to be. That's what they're going to do. And it is, oh, they're so good. Chef is so good. Holy crap!
He made everything here. So he made his French toast with the. It was the French toast with the bananas Foster sauce. He made it right here. Bananas Foster, and then you have blueberries and raspberries and whipped cream, candy pecans. It was phenomenal. We had a great blood orange mimosa as well. Had the champagne with the blood orange, a little rosemary.
Even RJ had some. He had a drink.
Rosemary sprig with the blood orange in it. Oh, it was so good, so good. And that's what you can expect at Union Kitchen, for example. Yes, they're going to have their Italian concept opening up soon, and we had some. We had the meatball with the we had a listener event with Keyshawn Johnson was here, a VIP advertiser event where they had the polenta and the meatball as well. Chef does such a great job of creating different items. It just tastes great. I mean, it just tastes great. It just has so much flavor, and you can expect that at Union Kitchen. Whether it's at your brunch or you're going for lunch or you're going for dinner, they've got a menu full of delicious items like, for example, the lobster omelets, as I've talked about before. That's a great dish. The churro donuts, which I thought they were making here, the donut holes, which are fantastic. Different types of eggs Benedict. So many different things to choose from. Of course, chicken sandwiches, burgers, piccata, chicken piccata. You got the pistachio crusted chicken. Something for everyone at Union Kitchen. Make sure you go to the Union Kitchen website and look at one of the 6 locations nearest you. That's the Union Kitchen.
ESPN
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Here's, before we get to the Astros, pretty good tweet. Brandon Marcello said this. If you're going to stand on your soapbox and go after the greatest coach of all time and throw his entire legacy under the bus, you better have some evidence. Jimbo might have to give up some receipts on this thing now. He might have to cash in some receipts because...
What do you mean?
Well, he just said, okay, you guys want to look at God. Go take a look at God and see
how
he does
things.
That's
a very generic thing. He didn't say anything specific.
No, but he did say Nick's a cheater. That's what he said.
He didn't say it out loud.
No, just he did. He said, go look at what he's done.
Right. So, he didn't say it. He said it without saying it. That's why he doesn't have to walk anything back. What is he going to have to walk back?
Okay, Jimbo, you know that Nick is cheating. Now he's going to, everywhere he goes, Jimbo, you know Nick is cheating. Where did Nick cheat? How did Nick cheat? Can you
don't
tell
ask
us?
Me. You go do the work. I'm not here to do your work. You do your own work. That's what he's going to say. And people say, okay. He's basically telling you, oh, if you want to find something, it's there. Ooh. He didn't tell you what it was.
Boy, is that a feud? I've never seen a coaching feud like this in public.
No, I haven't either.
No.
I mean, we've seen some. Jerry
the
Glanville
accusations
had his
of cheating by both guys.
La Russa and we've seen public, like La Russa and Dusty screaming MF at each
other.
Yeah,
that's
different,
but
though.
That's not
baseball.
Public. That's not public.
This is personal. Jimbo Fisher called Nick Saban a narcissist publicly and said he's God and he's built up to be God. This is what
the
go
czar
look into God.
Football.
He's the czar
God.
Of football. He's the czar of football, and then what y'all say is all that, and you build him up to be God. Go look into God's background. See how God did this. Like, that is as direct as you can be. Go see how he did this.
And then
he's basically telling you, how did
Nick go
get
back
here?
And then I didn't want to go back and work for him again.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Well, but that's a theme. Like, people in football know that. Yeah. People who work in football know that's Nick's hard to work for.
Yeah.
But with Nick comes, that's why the Bill O'Brien thing is so funny to me, because Bill O'Brien is such a hothead, but you have to subjugate yourself because Nick is the boss. And Bill O'Brien had been the boss for a long time. I mean, going back to Penn State, Bill O'Brien had been a boss, and he's a red ass, and he gets angry at stuff really easy and flies off the handle. And now he is coaching for the coach who, and we haven't heard about any issues, although, frankly, Bill O'Brien's offense had some really disastrous outings last year relative to what's expected, and a guy who's a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, that's very unusual for them to just go in a tank offensively at different times. And Alabama fans hate Bill O'Brien already, which is not unusual for a coordinator to be.
No, hate it. No.
But I don't know how, like, OB knows he's got to get back on track, and the best way to do it is go to the Nick Saban coaching rehabilitation tree.
Yeah. The Astros back at it tonight. Christian Javier off a bad start last time out. It's going to face Martin Perez. Perez last time out against the Astros pitched 7 innings and gave up 2 hits and 1 run. Struck out 4, didn't walk any.
We call him Martin Perez.
He's Martin Perez.
Perez.
That's what he is. So he's tough. There's no question about that. So this is going to be a little bit. Now, whether or not we get Christian Javier, who was much better, we shall see. His last outing was just not very good. He was awful against Washington. That was the game that ended the 11-game win streak, and he just got lit up. He didn't get much help defensively in that game, but he also just didn't pitch well. Gave up bombs. It just didn't look good. So hopefully Christian Javier, who was looking great before then, gets back to that form tonight. Last night, the Astros win it. Picked Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve is second on the all-time Astros list of four-hit games. Had his 33rd four-hit game as an Astro.
Okay, it's got to be Biggio, right?
Biggio, 34. Yeah. One ahead of him.
And then Eusebio third?
Not Eusebio. Might have been Adam Everett. Okay. I forget the list, but it might have been Adam Everett.
Willie Taveras with 4 bunts in a single game hits?
Could have been Willie
Taveras. 4 infield hits?
You're talking, now see, people don't even know the people that we're talking about.
If you don't know Willie Taveras and Tony Eusebio, you basically hate the Astros.
No, you just might be young.
Hey, bandwagon fan.
You might be young.
Hey, bandwagon fan, welcome to the Astros. If you tell me you don't know, tell me you're a bandwagon fan without telling me you're a bandwagon fan.
I don't
just know. Say, who's the Astros Clipper? Who's the guy with the... Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know the guy with the second longest hitting streak in Astros history, Tony Eusebio? All of them to center or right center field? Because he couldn't pull anything?
No, he couldn't.
You don't know Willie Taveras, the man who once had a 21-game hitting streak? I believe it was 21. And I think 17 of those games were because of infield hits. Because he was the fastest person I've ever
yeah.
seen.
Oh, which is another thing. Last night, Jose Altuve beating out a ground ball to short.
He almost beat one, the one to second, the great play that was made by in the Boston game.
Oh, yeah.
In the Trevor Boston Story. Loss. Yeah, like, yeah, Altuve's flying now.
Yeah.
He's got a speed back.
He does have his speed back. That means his average is just shooting up again. All of our predictions of Jose Altuve's immediate decline, not so much. He's up to 286 now. Jose Altuve hits over 300 this year, yes or no?
No.
He's at 286.
Yeah, I know, but he's not. It's not what he's been doing for the last several years.
Go look. Several years, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's 3 years in a row.
I'm going to go he hits 300 this year.
Here, since I'll give you his career. Let's see. Maybe I'm wrong. 2011. No. 2022, 286, 278, 219, 298. 2018 is the last time he hit 300.
Believe this it or year, not, he's going to hit 300 again.
He's hitting 286 this year. Yeah, so for 3 years in a row, he didn't. Now, before that, he was 216, 340. I mean, 316, 346, 338, 313, 341. It was five straight years of hitting over 300. And four of those 5 years.
He's going to get back to it today.
Three of those 5 years. Four of those years, he was a 200-hit guy.
What I saw last night, the way he's running after his hamstring injury kept him out all those games earlier this year, what I saw last night was like, Jose Altuve has picked up, in those 338 years, all those years over 300, a lot of his hits were beaten out. High hoppers in the hole, third baseman diving or whatever, and they couldn't get him. You know how many points you pick up on your average when you beat the infield hits out?
Yeah, I mean you'll pick up 8 to 10 in a year.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: what do you think? Like, if just a snap answer, will Jose Altuve get to 3,000 hits?
No, it doesn't look like it. No.
Okay. Do you? Like, Jose Altuve had 200 hits four straight years. He led the league four straight years. He had 200
yeah.
hits.
Yeah. What's how many hits does he
the
have?
The problem
right now?
Is probably less than you think, which is crazy. It's less than I thought.
Well, how many?
1805.
Yeah, that's why. He needs another 1,200. That's six more 200
he's
hit years.
32 years old right yeah. now. If he plays, he's going to have to play to 40.
40.
He's going to have to play to 40.
He might, too. He might.
He might. He might. But if he plays like.
Well, till 40.
If he plays six more years, if he plays until he's 38.
He needs 1,200.
Remember, Biggio wasn't good. No one's still good when they get to 3,000 yeah. hits. It's literally a longevity award. It's a longevity milestone.
Yeah. My prediction that Jose Altuve would beat out Pete Rose is probably off the board.
He's still got, like, now, if he plays till he's 50.
Yeah, maybe.
At the same level.
50, 52 or 53.
He's got a shot, but he's actually, Tuve's just missed too much time. He had a wipeout year in 2020 because of, I mean, he hit terrible and it was a COVID year. And then he had 146 last year. He was hurt 124 games, 137, 153. Like, he hasn't played more than 130 games since 2017.
So 130 games?
137.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten to 130 games.
Well, he's already missed a bunch of time this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, he hadn't. 2018 is the last time he played in 130 games. I mean, 20, you understand, but 19, 21, neither one of – no, I take it back. Last year he played 146. That's good. 146, I mean, you playing that much, you got
yeah,
a shot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and
still missed 16 games.
Right. All right, on the other side, back whoever wants to get in here about this Jimbo and Nick Saban thing. You want to talk about the game last night, the NBA game, or you want to talk about your Astros? You're more than welcome to do that. We got other stories as well. But right now we got GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. You'll hear him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. GimmeTheVin.com is where you can sell your car. GimmeTheVin.com is where you're going to get the most money for your car. And the process is so simple. You go to GimmeTheVin.com. You put your license plate in or your VIN number. The VIN number is longer. Your license plate is shorter. I would do the license plate thing. Just put in your license plate number, and you're going to find out how much your car is worth. It actually is pretty darn quick. And then you go. And if you want to go, you go to CarMax and say, well, give me the VIN, it'll give me this. and CarMax my counter. You come back to GiveMeTheVIN.com, and I say, yeah, we'll give you more than that. Okay. And if they can't beat CarMax's offer, then guess what? You're going to get $100 from GiveMeTheVIN.com because GiveMeTheVIN.com says we guarantee that we will pay you more than CarMax does. Go to your dealership armed with the knowledge of what your car is worth, what you can get for it. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.